Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The Supreme Court rules the Tennessee SAFE Act is not sex-based discrimination. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead.
You know, Matt, this was a great victory from the U.S. Supreme Court that ruled 6-3. Of course, you know, there are usual three more on the left women voted against this. But this is to protect children from these harmful puberty blockers, hormones, and irreversible mutilating surgeries.
Yeah, the High Court rejected a legal challenge from three gender-confused teens, their parents, and a doctor who argued that the law violated their equal protection rights and discriminated based on sex. However, the majority ruled that the Tennessee law clearly did not turn on sex, but rather restricts questionable medical treatments equally for all minors, regardless of their sex.
And you know, Matt, I think that really speaks loudly. Those three women, going back to that, are saying it's okay to mutilate our children. This is a cultural problem, not a judicial legal problem.
Well, and remember, you had one of those during the confirmation hearings saying that she wasn't a biological expert to know
What a woman is. Yeah, that was a political answer, we know.
Yeah, that was an unbelievable answer. Liberty Counsel, we filed a brief in this case in support of the Tennessee law. The decision now is going to provide a solid foundation to keep in effect similar laws protecting children in 26 other states. In writing for the majority, the Chief Justice, John Roberts, wrote that Tennessee's Save Adolescents from Experimentation Act, or SAFE Act, or SB1, as it was denominated during the vote, does not prohibit conduct for one sex that it permits for the other. Rather, the law is a medical and age regulation that blocks puberty blockers, hormones, and mutilating surgeries from being used on any minor to treat several medical diagnoses, including gender dysphoria, gender identity disorder, gender incongruence due to their harmful and sometimes irreversible risk. The opinion also noted that the risk include, quote, irreversible sterility, increased risk of disease and illness, and adverse psychological consequences, close quote.
Yeah, these who filed the lawsuit were trying to make it a gender discrimination, sex discrimination issue. Well, it's not at all. They're not discriminating on whether it's a male or female. They're discriminating against a child and saying a child, it's okay to take off a child's body parts in order to try to treat the confusion that's going on mentally.
Yeah, so Tennessee, like many other states, over half of them have passed laws to protect children from these harmful puberty blockers, opposite sex hormones, and then mutilating, irreversible, life-altering surgeries. According to the opinion, SB1, the SAFE Act, quote, divides minors into two groups, those who might seek puberty blockers or hormones to treat the excluded diagnoses, and those who might seek puberty blockers or hormones to treat their conditions, wrote the Chief Justice. Although only gender-confused individuals seek treatment for gender dysphoria, gender identity disorder, and gender incongruence, just as only biological women can become pregnant, there is a lack of identity between the gender-confused status and the excluded medical diagnosis. So under these circumstances, Chief Justice John Roberts wrote that the court did not find any sex-based discrimination. And the argument was that this law discriminates on the basis of sex. So, for example, a male, a boy, could not take estrogen, but a female could take estrogen. And a female could not take testosterone. It would be the opposite sex taking the opposite hormone. The problem, however, is that argument failed because it really doesn't divide based upon that, because a female can take estrogen, a male can take testosterone under certain conditions, as long as it's not for these prescribed diagnoses. If you have a diagnosis of gender dysphoria, gender identity disorder, or gender incongruence, you can't take these hormones for that particular kind of diagnoses.
Yeah, I think the point too, they're saying, well, you're discriminating that the male can't take the hormones to quote unquote become female, which is impossible. That's against God's design. So you're not discriminating against sex. This is, bottom line, this is common sense.
Yeah, it's common sense. So the decision affirms a lower court ruling from the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, which also upheld the law using what's called a rational basis review, which is a less stringent standard of review that determines whether the law is rationally related to a legitimate government interest. And so the Chief Justice stated that the less stringent review was appropriate since Tennessee's law proclaimed a legitimate, substantial, and compelling interest in protecting minors from physical and emotional harm. Both he and Justice Samuel Alito wrote a concurring opinion in this case. He also noted in his concurrence that the Tennessee legislature only targeted experimental medical procedures that are found to be unsupported and dangerous by a growing number of international medical experts. The Supreme Court actually cited to the CAS review, which is a four-year study out of the United Kingdom, that concluded that there's a lack of reliable evidence for any long-term positive outcomes from these gender interventions. In fact, our Liberty Counsel brief actually delved into the details of the CAS review, which is a very important, prominent research document.
Oh, yeah, that was a four-year study that came out of the United Kingdom. Phenomenal evidence showing what we've been saying all along. It is not substantiated to destroy children and their body parts in order to try to align with their confusion.
And so our brief actually reviewed this kind of information. It first of all took on the so-called consensus of these liberal experts that were more politically based, and it undermined those political opinions based upon more valid research. We also cited the CAS review. The CAS review has been very influential in the United Kingdom because it was actually initiated because of one of their main clinics there, the Travestock Clinic, that was doing these puberty blockers, hormones, and mutilating surgeries on minors. And the CAS review was initiated to review whether or not that was actually helpful or harmful. And the results of the CAS review were such that there is no legitimate help and there's more harm than good. And as a result of that, the Travestock Clinic is closing in the United Kingdom. And it was one of the world leaders in this particular area of these irreversible surgeries. So it's had a huge impact in the United Kingdom. And of course, now it comes up in the United States Supreme Court decision as well.
You know, and praise God for this decision, because there are, aside from Tennessee, there are 26 other states that have also passed laws protecting children. So this decision should be help solidify those laws as well and uphold them.
Yeah, and so Justice Thomas actually had some good statements in his concurring opinion. He says, "We afford states wide discretion to pass legislation in areas where there is medical and scientific uncertainty." That's the Chief Justice. And Roberts and others agreed. Thomas also agreed. He said in his concurring opinion, in agreement with the Chief Justice, he wrote that the children are being rushed toward medical treatment and that states can legitimately question whether these experimental procedures on children are ethical. He goes on to say the rising number of detransitioners that clinicians report seeing indicates that this approach can backfire. He says states have an interest in ensuring that minor patients have the time and capacity to fully understand the irreversible treatments they may undergo. And despite the supposed expert consensus that young children can consent to irreversible sex transition treatments, he says, states have good reasons to disagree. As any parent knows, children's comprehension is limited.
And, you know, I even stray away from using the word treatment, because treatment
is not real treatment.
To help solve a medical issue. But these are not treatments, because they cause harm in every single situation.
I call them interventions.
Yes.
Because they're not treatment.
Experiments.
You know, treatment is designed to heal somebody, to get you better. And this is mutilating surgery. This is just grotesque.
Right.
It is medically not necessary. So it is not medically necessary. Usually you look at medical treatment as it's medically necessary or not medically necessary. This is not medically necessary.
Right.
As important as counseling, not intervention like this.
Oh, right. It's like calling an abortion clinic a clinic where you go to get
healthcare.
Well. Exactly.
Well, this is a great decision. I think it will bode well for the other 26 states around the country. For more information, visit Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org/helpkids.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. The website again, lc.org.